You are listening to an audio podcast by the Durban Christian Centre Jesus Dome, a house of prayer for all nations.
Hallelujah. Hebrews 12, and we're just going to kick off with verse 1. I'm going to read a couple of translations. New King James Version says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight." Next week, I'm going to talk about load shedding, about how we need, and it's got nothing to do with Eskom, nothing to do with buying generators or anything like that, but it has to do with keeping yourself light as a runner. Did you see any of the comrades, marathon runners with backpacks and big ball chains and carrying weights on them? No, they had to be as light as possible to make the long distance, the grueling race. Amen. It behoved them not to have any excessive baggage or any excessive weight on them. All right. And so the Bible says, lay aside, get rid of every weight that would so easily beset you, every weight of entanglement. We're going to look at that next week. Next week, the sermon is entitled Load Shedding. Nothing to do with electricity. Load shedding. No, I'm just kidding. All right. But verse 1 says, "Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses." The New Living Translation says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith." So it's not just a bunch of people over there. It's a bunch of people that relate to a life of faith. In other words, this group of people are heroes of our faith. And we can look at them and we can feed off their testimonies and off their experiences, and it'll do something to our faith, right? In the Message Bible, it says, "Do you see what this means? All these pioneers." So it refers to the cloud of witnesses as pioneers. What does a pioneer mean? A pioneer means that they go into uncharted territory, so that many years later, when we come, we don't have to pull out our machete and make new roads and new paths, because the previous generation paved a way for us. Can you say amen? So it says there, do you see what this means? All these pioneers who blaze the way, all these veterans cheering us on. So here's the picture that I want you to get, family. There's a whole lot of people in heaven, a cloud of witnesses, all the saints of old, all the Bible characters that we read in the Bible. And what are they doing? They're looking at us as we are running this race for God. They all ran the race with God, and they ran well. And did they finish? Yes, they finished. And so they are cheering you and I on this race. How many of you know that many, many, many people got up this morning, but they were not running the race? They were lining the streets. And as the runners came by, I don't know if you heard them, but they would clap and they would cheer and they would encourage. Why? Because that's how important encouragement is. Would you look at your neighbor and say, "Neighbor, I could do with all the encouragement you give me." Come on. Come on, every single one of us, you and I, need to be encouraged. The Bible is a book of encouragement. As a matter of fact, the Holy Ghost, the Parakletos, the Paraclete, as Jesus said, the Comforter, the Greek word Parakletos, part of the word to encourage. Encouragement comes from parakaleo, which means to come and stand alongside somebody. In other words, when I come and stand alongside somebody who is discouraged, my job as an encourager is to bring courage to that person. Hallelujah. Come on, how many of you realize we could do with more encouragement in the body of Christ? Come on. Let me tell you something. The body of Christ probably is a place where there are many casualties that have been inflicted, not outwardly, but inwardly. Can you say praise the Lord? Hallelujah. So here in Hebrews, the writer says, listen, I want you to understand, there are people that have gone where you have gone before. There are people that are fighting giants that you are fighting, mountains that you are climbing. But they did it, and they are encouraging you, and they are encouraging me tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. With the ears of our faith, we can hear them encouraging us and urging us on. Praise God. In the Amplified, this is what it says. Therefore then, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who have borne testimony to the truth. Who have borne what? Testimony. The word testimony comes from the word testis, which means a witness. So in other words, when we look at them, there is a witness that we get on the inside of us. And what does that witness do, family? That witness brings an inner knowing on the inside of us. There is like a persuasion, a confident assurance that rises up on the inside of us. That it don't matter what we might be facing, if they made it in the Old Testament, then you and I can make it in the New Testament. Can you say amen? How many of you realize that a lot of those comrade runners trained for this conference? I don't know if there was anybody that woke up today and thought, I think I'm going to run the conference. I feel strong enough. I had a lot of pasta last night. I've carbo-loaded, Wesley. Do you think there was anybody that got up like that, John? I don't think, it was me. You're quite right. And here I am to tell the story. But there was nobody that actually got up this morning and just thought, I'm going to run the comments. There was months and months of training. Hello? Months of Googling. If you don't know something, just ask Google. Right? And how do you do this? And how do you do? I was talking to somebody and I said, well, how have you prepared for this mentally? And the person said, well, I've broken it up into all the hills that are there, you know? And there's this hill and that hill, and then there's about four or five hills. And the person said, well, when I get past the one hill, then there's the next hill. And then when I've made it through the other hill, there's the other hill. So she said, I've broken it up into hills. Mentally, I've prepared for these hills. I'm ready psychologically for these hills. And I said, how about the food? Well, you know, she said, I don't really spend too much time thinking about it. I just kind of eat like I eat. But a lot of people have gone on a special diet and all of the preparation and all of the running. But can I tell you something? That when it comes to 50 Ks, 60 Ks, 70 Ks, 92 Ks, can I tell you what would have made the difference for a lot of people crossing that line? It would have been the sounds of cheering and encouragement coming from the crowds. Can you say amen? Come on. Let me tell you something. Encouragement is a lost art in the body of Christ. We could do with a whole lot more encouraging. Can you say amen? Come on, people of God. Listen, let me tell you something. Our children need to be encouraged. Our wives and husbands need to be encouraged. People that work with us need to be encouraged. There's just something about encouragement. Hallelujah. It does something for us on the inside of us. Can you say praise the Lord? Amen. Psychologists and psychiatrists will tell you that for every one negative statement that is spoken over your life, it takes seven positive ones to counteract that negative statement. One negative equals seven positives, and then the effect of that one negative, the spell and the power of that one negative is broken. That's how much harm negative speaking brings. But when we turn our mouth into speaking encouragement, let me tell you, we become a blessing. Can you say amen? I'm saying this to you. Why? Because listen, every one of us might be facing a situation. I don't know what it is that you're up against. But the Bible says we are in this race. And I don't know about you, but I'm in this race to finish. I'm not here today and gone tomorrow. Is there anybody here that's just for 5 minutes? Those runners that ran today, I don't know of anybody that said, well, let me give it 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, that's it. Do you think there was anybody? Maybe when they got to 5 hours, 7 hours, they couldn't walk anymore and then they had to stop for some while. But all of them were prepared to start and finish the race. Huh? You think so? Come on, how about you and I? I've started this race. You've started this race. And we're going to run for God. Amen. And there were some things that the Old Testament saints came through and they had to fight through and they had to believe God through, but they came through the other side. How much more you and I? I'm here to encourage you tonight. Hallelujah. I'm here to tell you, don't give up. Why? You're on the brink of a miracle. Come on. Some of you just don't know how close you are to a miracle. We're in this thing with God. We're going strong with God. And I'm here to encourage you and tell you, listen, when nobody else encourages you, we have a whole lot of Bible characters that we can look at. We can look at Abraham and see what he did. We can look at Noah and see what he did. We can look at Moses and see what he did. And by the way, all of these Bible characters had flaws and defects. None of them was perfect. None of them was perfect. Hallelujah. How many of you can breathe a sigh of relief? That doesn't mean that we can just do whatever we want. That doesn't give us the license to sin. No. But I am telling you tonight that God will use whatever you give him. When you bring your brokenness, when you bring your weakness. Why? Because it's not about you. Running this race is about God working his miracle power on the inside of you. It's not about you being so gifted and so beautiful and so wonderful and so handsome. It's about God on the inside of you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So we are today living in a hall of fame. All we got to do is look at these Bible characters and we feed off their testimony. It fuels our faith. It activates our faith. Come on. I don't know who I'm speaking to, but I feel like I've got to just be like Barnabas, the Bible says, was a son of encouragement. When you look at Barnabas, he had many names, but the disciples chose to call him Barnabas. In the Hebrew, he was known as Joseph or Joseph, but they called him Barnabas. Why? Because they recognized that he was an encourager. Hallelujah. Come on in this place. I'm here to encourage you tonight. You've got God for you. If God be for you, who can be against you? There's not only just the cloud of witnesses, but can I tell you, there's the angels. There's the heavenly host that are looking at you and I. And I don't know about you, but I can hear their cheers. I can hear their encouragement. I can hear their words. I can hear them saying, come on, boy. Come on, you can do it, girl. Come on, girl. You're doing good. You're going strong. Come on, don't give up now. Don't quit now. Come on, you're doing good. You're doing good. There's a story about a little boy who could hardly play the piano. He was terrible. He could play chopsticks. Dee-de-gung, ding-king, dee-de-gung, ding-king, dee-de-gung, ding-gung, whatever. And anyways, there was a famous pianist, concerto pianist, that was going to be in town. This was in Poland. And so the mother thought, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to take my son, I'm going to take him to that concert. And he's going to watch that piano player play. He's going to be inspired because I want my son to be like that. Anyway, so she organizes that night and they get to the concert. And there's everybody sitting at a big, grand Steinway piano on the stage. The little boy was sitting next to the mother. He was only a small little boy. Small little boy. And so the mother started to speak to people nearby, and just then lights dimmed and the concert began. And when she looked onto the piano, to her horror, there was her little boy. He had slipped out of his seat and made his way to the stage and was sitting on the piano and with one finger now was playing chopsticks. Oh my gosh, she was so highly embarrassed. And she started to make her way out of her seat to go and retrieve her little son. When all of a sudden, the master appeared. The grand piano player. And he came around the little boy and he whispered in the little boy in his ear, don't quit. Keep playing. Don't quit. Keep playing. And the little boy kept playing chopstick, and with his left hand, he began to fill in the bass line. And with his right hand, he began to fill in the fills. And all of the crowd were mesmerized at how the master and this little boy had played such a wonderful tune. You know, that's how I see God coming around some of you tonight. I don't know what it is that you're up against, and perhaps your mind and everything round about you is telling you, quit. You may as well give in. Throw the towel in. You may as well right now just call it a day. But I see God whispering in your ear, don't quit. Keep going for me. I see God's hand coming around you, sustaining you. Why? Because together with God, listen, all things are possible. Can you say praise the Lord? With every head bowed, every eye closed in this place tonight, I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what it is that you are facing. But I know that you and God are always a majority. Always. Always. Let me tell you, the devil has a race for people to run as well. And the race that he sets is a race that will strip you of all dignity, all worth, all value, because that's what sin does. And when it has stripped you of all your dignity and worth and value, sin will actually kill you. That's the aim. That's the aim. And the race that the devil has for people is a race that is driven. He drives you. He's a cruel taskmaster. The devil is. That's the race that he has for you. But I want to tell you that God has another race. It's a glorious race. And this race, you're not driven, but he comes to stand alongside you. He gives you the comforter, the paracletos, who's there to encourage you. And we have a great cloud of witnesses that we can look at, like Enoch and Abraham and Moses and David and Samson and Gideon and even Rahab, who was a prostitute. All of these wonderful heroes of our faith, who when we look at them are a source of encouragement for us. And in this race that God has for you and for me, everyone is a winner. Every single one of us is a winner.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. For more information, visit us on DurbanChristianCenter.com and stay in touch with us via Facebook and Twitter.